This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Surfing the globe, bringing you news, views, and current affairs for the LGBT community. This is the World Wide Wave.
Good evening. Tuesday night means World Wide Wave time, Joy's international news and current affairs show, especially for the LGBTI community. We take you around the globe one country at a time. And tonight, welcoming back from visiting all around the world, Paul's back with us.
Hello.
Damien is here too.
Hello.
And a big shout out and thank you to David and Tess for a great and very full show on the Informer. Now, tonight, the topic of refugees is one that takes up copious amounts of time in our parliament, in the media, and most likely dinner party discussions. Everyone has an opinion, but few people have a direct experience. So tonight, on World Refugee Week, we speak with a couple of people who have.
What is the real experience of a queer person seeking asylum in Australia?
What is the survivor guilt that queer refugees can experience?
How can we change the narrative of refugees in Australia from one of trauma to one of hope? In an interview that will challenge your thinking on queer refugees, tonight we are joined by Renee and Tina, refugee advocates and creators of the exhibition Stories About Hope, opening tonight at Federation Square.
Hi, Michael here from the Joy Tech Support Team. Keeping voices on air can't be achieved without funds to support our broadcast technology. The end of the financial year is here. Donate to Joy. Head to joy.org.au before June 30 for a chance to win.
This is Dede Utomo from Kaya Nusantara in Surabaya, Indonesia, speaking on World Wide Way.
Message in from Melina. Melina says, my Uber driver is shaking his head in disbelief.
Now, believe it or not, Olivia actually has a connection to refugees.
Do tell.
She is the granddaughter of Max Born, a famous physicist and mathematician who had to escape Germany during the Nazi uprising and moved to the UK. And at the beginning of the show, you would have heard Rita Ura. Her family left Kosovo when Yugoslav disintegrated and also moved to the UK.
And we are talking all things refugees tonight. Message in from 317. We're going to come back to you very shortly. You've sent us a link and we're going to look into that one. Message in from Hoffler. Thank you for this one. He sent us a link from a story out of Greece where the Greek Prime Minister, love him or hate him, Alexis Tsipras, has become the first Greek Prime Minister to speak to an LGBT magazine. He says he is arguing that human rights are not a luxury in these times of current economic crisis. That's pretty bold for him to be speaking out. He hasn't got a huge majority there in Greece, so fantastic. We'll repost that on our Facebook page, W3Joy. But in the meantime, we'll talk about our fun fast facts. Now, we are talking all things refugees tonight. Now, refugee status comes under the criteria under the laws, if you like, of the 1951 UN Convention relating to the status of refugees. You probably know it as the Geneva Convention, 1951, and it really, really hasn't been updated too much in that time. So it doesn't actually mention sexuality specifically in there.
But in recent years, the UN High Commission for Refugees has issued several interpretive instruments.
Clarifying things, yes, really.
They just love that in language. Recognising specific protection needed for lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender and intersex individuals.
So basically, to qualify as a refugee, you need to have a well-founded fear of being persecuted. There are several grounds, things like race, religion, nationality, membership of a particular social group or political opinion. And you've got to be outside your country and unable to or unwilling to, i.e. you fear it a lot, get back in there. So you want the protection of another country. They're the sort of the parameters that are worked in for any refugee.
So everyone, a refugee, needs to establish that first of all, they're outside their country of nationality or former habitual residents.
They've got to establish that they fear persecution.
And they've got to prove that that
persecution,
thank you, was well-founded.
These are, I guess what we're trying to show is that there's these hoops you've got to go through. They've then got to show that the persecution is based on one of those criteria we talked about, and then they don't need to, they don't need or want to go back to that country. And majority of LGBTI claims arise under that third one there, a well-rounded fear of persecution, and the fourth one, a link, if you a member of a social group.
Because
so we're a social group.
The astute listener would have noticed that there is nothing that specifically identifies LGBTIQ as a reason for seeking refugee status.
So we are going to get a very personal look at this process and what it means. And in fact, refugees right here in Australia. This is Worldwide Wave. Now, the mere mention of the word refugee evokes passionate opinions, both for and against. And most often it is people who have no particular experience in the topic other than what they have seen in the media. Tonight, being World Refugee Week, we are joined by Renee and Tina, refugee advocates, who are using art to change the narrative to one of hope. We started by asking them about their experience in coming to Australia.
That was my plan.
Plane.
Planes. Okay.
I guess...
That does bring up an issue, though. People who talk about when people think refugees, they're thinking boats, aren't they?
Yeah.
But you've, and the majority don't come by boat. Is that something that you've experienced? People making assumptions about what a refugee is?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I guess it's just the whole narrative in Australia that to be a refugee is just, there's only one image of a single story, and mostly it's a story about the trauma and suffering, and it's a story about particular genders in particular countries and people coming by, you know, in particular ways to Australia, meaning, you know, by boats. And I think this is where our project is as well important, because we're trying to show the reality and the real experiences that, you know, how can we artificially combine people from so many countries in the world and say that we are one and the same? Like, we all come from different backgrounds and different ways. And so it's important that people recognize the diversity of experiences that are within the refugee community.
Renee, tell us about your experience. How do you see diversity within the refugee community?
Oh, that's very diverse, I think. Because if we will look at 70 years of refugee convention, that was... You know, at least I can show in my project that was 8 people, like from Holocaust survival until like recently guy came to Australia from Iran. So, you know, that's very diverse.
I think it is also important that, you know, the public perception that there are only, let's say, men coming. There are more men coming, but also there are women who come. There are people who are queer and who are seeking asylum. And it feels sometimes that the mainstream media silences a lot of the stories, and you only again get to hear one narrative. And in the context of queer people who sought asylum, for example, it's sometimes presented in a very objectified and a very romanticized way, that it is like
a romanticized way.
Yeah, it is like they say, "Oh, you're a gay refugee. How lucky you are to be here in Australia." And it just
don't think about that we should live with this guilt of survival, because we left our country and people behind us.
Coming up, Renee and Tina share the discrimination faced by queer refugees within both the refugee community and the LGBTI community. This is Worldwide Wave on Joy 94.9.
Bonjour, c'est Tina Renee. Vous écoutez La Joie 94.9, darling.
It's Romana Schlesinger from the Rainbow Pride Bratislava in Slovakia for Worldwide Wave.
Messages coming in. Go Greece. Greece did invent homosexuality. Not sure about that.
They should have put a trademark on it.
They should. They would have made a fortune. They wouldn't be in the economic problems they are now. Another one, Hoffler says Greece is the word. I think if we played that one, Melina's poor Uber driver would, you know, drive off the road dancing or something. And on Facebook, that story we mentioned at the top of the show about the President Trump's advisory group on HIV and AIDS. Basically, 6 members have advised saying that the president doesn't care about HIV. Greg says, I wonder, are gays for Trump getting uncomfortable yet? We will keep following that story.
So Renee and Tina have just revealed a survivor guilt with LGBTI refugees and a perception that LGBTI refugees are luckier than others. Tina continues to explain what life is like for a queer refugee.
People don't understand that behind someone being queer and refugee, most likely there is a lifelong oppression and discrimination and violence that happens to people. And then it kind of all is very glossed over. And then I had many experiences when mainstream journalists would approach me to write an article about what does it mean to be queer and a refugee. And the only single question that interests them is my horrific experience with the Department of Immigration during the interview process, how they wouldn't believe me that I was gay. I was like, well, hang on a second. You know, it can happen, not in our case, but let's talk about different issues, things like racism within LGBT community or homophobia within refugee community and lack of services specifically tailored to your needs. And they'll be like, oh, it's okay, we'll find someone else. So it becomes that like a lot of diverse experiences are actually silenced within the mainstream media. And I think it's important to recognize that, you know, yes, we all have one need, is the access to justice and, you know, the equal treatment. But at the same time, we all come from very different backgrounds.
And in fact, for a queer person, that can, as you mentioned, that can actually be amplified because while they're going through the refugee processing process, they might actually be discriminated against. Not necessarily from authorities, but from other refugees.
Oh, absolutely, definitely. Yeah. And I mean, look, a lot of people, like, you come from a country where it was most likely illegal or, you know, not normal in the society views to be gay. So you were probably not really out in your home countries. And so what happens in Australia is that you're forced to come out twice. You have to come out as queer and you have to come out as a refugee. And so if you come out as a queer to refugee community, like 100% you're going to be discriminated against because it's going to be against some people's beliefs. We had things when people would just like find out about us that we're a couple and change a seat to like next row in the class and just like not sit next to us. But then if you're going to come out as a refugee in a queer community, you don't face an acceptance because people don't know how to deal with you. And on a personal level, like, you feel, okay, I am queer. I never, I guess, you know, fought until the end for my community and I left. Like, do I even have a right to belong right now to this queer community in here? And so you become somewhere in between. Like, you're not part of any community.
Have you found, Renee, have you found support from the queer community here in Australia? Or have you found support from others? You okay?
Almost.
That's okay.
Can you answer this question?
So it's obviously brought up a lot of emotion in,
yeah,
in you.
You can ask me a question.
So I guess from your experience, how has the LGBTI community here been accepting or not, or supportive or not?
I don't think we're really a part of LGBT community in here because, so at the beginning, we had this survival guilt and shame that you cannot really go openly and disclose that you are queer and from a refugee background. And so we were never really kind of going there, and I don't think this happened yet that we're really kind of fully part of the community. We have friends who are queer, but it becomes just like a very tiny inner circle that we are not, I guess, maybe ready to go there fully yet.
Is this because you've created this exhibition out of your story, is that something that you would hope might change, that queer people might sort of view your exhibition and think themselves what?
Oh, absolutely. And I mean, I've spoken to some events in the last couple of years where I'm trying to say that you know, it's really great that we're all now fighting for marriage equality, but this is not the only one issue that should be the focus of the community, queer community work. And so just connecting, you know, those different layers and different experiences, because, like, what really does it mean to be queer? You know, we all come from such, you know, huge, diverse backgrounds, no matter even you were born or not born in Australia. So there are a lot, way more kind of topics to speak about. And so I guess in our exhibition, we have actually two queer people. So this is my story and also Wong. I guess the queerness is not his central point, but he's an open and confident gay man. So, you know, we speak about this too. And I think it'll be really great that, you know, queer community, same as refugee community, you know, can see both sides and kind of understand the complexity of the experiences behind people.
How did you choose the subjects? You've picked eight people. That's a... You know, that would have been a hard choice, I would imagine, trying to narrow down stories to eight.
Not really, because it's very... I found we should be very ethical. So I ask people, are you really sure that you won't share this story? Are you really, really sure? Because it will be everywhere, and we give it, like, full control for people. And as well, we not find a lot of, like... stories. Sometimes people, they refused to participate in a project, which is good and which is, like, normally should happen.
Yeah. We also, because we had, I guess we wanted to take a person, you know, roughly from the historical period. It's not to say that our exhibition is fully representative of all 70 years of Refugee Convention, but, and so, like, some people didn't want to participate. Some people would say yes and then kind of drop out and say, no, I rethought it. And it was completely fine because... I guess we're also, like, on another point that in Australia, as a person from refugee background, you're constantly asked to tell your story, and general public thinks it's well-meaning, it's awareness raising, it's therapeutic for you, as if they're therapists. And so in reality, it's far from that. You have to be ready to tell it. And I guess the distinguishing feature of the project was that it was told on their conditions. Because what happens normally when you're asked to tell your story, people are only interested in your past. In past, in pain, in violence that happened to you. It never goes beyond the point. It never reaches the point like, so where are you now? Like, what are you doing now? Like, do you think this is your home now? Like, are we doing enough to for you to feel at home? All of that. It never goes there. And so the difference with the stories about hope was that we didn't even ask about their past experience. Some people would mention it, some people wouldn't. Fair enough, it wasn't the point. The point was that, you know, this is the person, experience of seeking asylum was part of his life experiences. This is not who they are. And so looking for people, we were looking for people who were actually ready to share that. They were comfortable. They probably were treating their story same as me, as the unique source of knowledge and not, I guess, pain that much anymore.
Would you say that most of the subjects spoke in terms of hope and optimism, that they are definitely looking forward?
Definitely, because you know, for us, it was very important to present their stories through strength and survival, and
they're great attributes, aren't they? They're very powerful
and
emotions.
It was really interesting because we only had like 5-7 standard questions that we'll ask, and then we'll just like go into depth with what people say to you. And after we finished filming, so the kind of, you know, cross-cut theme across everyone was the question of belonging. People would say, I feel this is my home now. I want to have a right to say I'm an Australian because, you know, I'm doing this much. Like, I feel I love this land and I'm constantly questioned, and people kind of constantly try to judge me and say, oh, where are you from, you know, and all of that sort of stuff. So,
tell me a story, you know.
Yeah, so the a lot of, like, dynamics in the society that kind of, you know, deprives you from a belonging at some points. And so it was interesting how those people never met each other, but that was, like, a cross-cutting thing. But everybody was, because it's sometime already past the point that they came to Australia, and there were a lot of hopes and, you know, future aspirations, and I guess just like...
And proud, they were proud for what they achieved in their lives during the living in Australia. And they always said, I want to give back now. So it was across all these eight stories, they want to give back as well.
That's Renee and Tina. They're refugee advocates and creators of the exhibition Stories About Hope, which is opening tonight in Melbourne at Federation Square. Melina's actually sent us a question for them. We had to actually get them into the studio because they are literally drinking Chardonnay and looking through the exhibition as we speak. So I can't ask them the questions about Peter Dutton's comments. I would quite safely have a bit of a stab and say they would probably not be supporting the immigration minister's comments on immigration. I was really interested in what they were saying about they needed people that wanted to tell the story, and they were really checking with people, are you sure? And it sort of reminded me of, it's kind of like, they even said it, they're coming out twice, that you have to come out as queer, but then you come out as a refugee, which is actually quite similar. A lot of people who are HIV positive talk about the same thing, come out as gay and then come out as HIV positive. And it's this extra layer. Extra hurdle, extra layer that you have to be open enough, be comfortable enough to share with people.
It's kind of bearing your soul on, you know, completely on so many different levels and, like you say, hurdles.
And really, really personal level too.
And doing it twice. I mean, once is hard enough.
And interesting to the Renee stumbled a bit. She got quite emotional on the question of support for the queer community and sort of that connection. So I want, are we as a community doing enough? Are we being vocal enough, being supportive enough?
Well, I think that Tina was talking about that. Yeah, we're pushing the marriage equality, but that's not the only issue that's facing the LGBTI community.
I guess that's the one that gets the most airtime, which is kind of, it's a bit of a...
Is that sucking the air out of everything else, though?
Well, kind of, yes. Now, it's kind of a bit weird because do you pour all your energy into one thing to get it over the line, or do you split your energy across, because obviously there's more than one issue, and get nowhere with any of them? I mean, marriage equality should have been done and dusted. That's my view.
Well, there's lots of supporters here in the station. Lovely messages coming in. 317 says, we should be privileged to have people like them in our country, and sends them hugs. They're a minority within a minority. Melina, who was in the Uber, she said, the Uber driver has dropped me off now. I've converted him to Joy. Woo! Make sure you take out a membership. It's absolutely still Radiothon, Melina. This is World Wide Wave.
Want to hear more? Find out about LGBT life in over 100 countries. Download free podcasts of this show. Subscribe to iTunes or follow us on Twitter. Visit joy.org.au/worldwidewave.
Hello, this is Wolfgang from Conchita-Wurst City, which is Vienna in Austria. You're listening to Worldwide Wave from Joy 94.9.
You are the popular one, the popular chick. It is what it is, now popular is.
Standing on the field with your pretty pom-pom. Now you're working at the movie selling popular corn. Could have been a mess, but I never went wrong. Cause I'm putting down my story in a popular song.
I said I'm putting down my story in a popular song.
I never was a model, I never was a scholar, but you were always popular. You were singing all the songs I don't know. Now you're in the front row, cause my song is popular.
You hid during classes and in between.
Dug me in the toilets, now it's you that cleans.
You're trying to make me feel bad with the things you do. It ain't so funny when the joke's on you.
Ooh, the joke's on you. Got everyone laughing,
got everyone clapping. Asking how come you look so cool. Cause that's the only thing that I learned at school. I said that's the only thing that I learned at school.
My problem,
I never was a model. I never was a scholar, but you were always popular. You were singing all the songs I don't know. Now you're in the front row, cause my song is popular.
Popular, I know about popular. It's not about who you are or your fancy car.
That was Mika and Ariana Grande. Now, Mika was born in Beirut, but his family was forced to leave the war-torn Lebanon, and they moved to Paris.
Another refugee story, and indeed one of hope, if you can become a high world-renowned pop singer like that. Messages galore coming in. Melina says, I think we're too one-dimensional. So talking about the queer response to refugees. Thanks for that. She also says, wish me luck. So good luck. Whatever it is, we wish you luck. Now, Hoffler has sent through a link about Vietnamese refugees. We'll share that on Facebook. Actually says that in the 1971 census, there were 700 people who listed Vietnamese as their country of birth, and then a decade later it was 80,000. So it was kind of Australia's first experience, first step into multiculturalism in some ways. And then 317, who sent us through a link about Tim Wilson. So he made some comments when he was Australia's Human Rights Commissioner, basically saying that he wanted to make sure that anybody that made a claim as an LGBTI refugee seeking asylum in Australia was legitimate. And it caused quite a stir. And he came out and clarified, as politicians too, saying that's a challenging area, one where I think more can be done, particularly on Manus Island and Nauru. Well, yes, interesting stuff. Talking refugees tonight.
We are talking refugees. Human curiosity is such that we all want to ask the stories of others. Our guests Renee and Tina believe, though, that looking forward is more powerful. We asked them, what should we say to someone who is a refugee?
You said people ask stories, and as you say, they probably are being well-meaning and interested. What should people say?
I don't think that I should tell the story of violence to make you...
I think we can start talking about our stories when we have a trust. But if I met you first time in my life and you ask me or tell me a story, how did you came to Australia? I'm sorry, I doubt that we have this amount of trust between us. And ask yourself, do you want to share with me your story, which can definitely be in your past, which will hurt you and give you pain if you will remember this story? I don't think so. So that's the same situation here, I think.
It's about the person being ready to tell it. And, you know, we had friends with whom we were friends for like a year or something, and only at some point we will share something. But I guess with stories, it's just, you know, some people will be ready to tell it and they want to tell it, and some people are not yet ready, and some people will never be ready, and people just have to respect that.
So the exhibition is Stories About Hope. What will people see or experience at the exhibition?
So exhibition contains three parts. That's photography and short documentaries and a book, which you can buy. And we created this book because we want to create long-lasting impact, because all profit sales from the book will donate it, give back to organization who help us to bring the exhibition to Melbourne.
We will also have two associated workshops during the week. One will cover topics about home and belonging, and the other one will be on practical and technical knowledge on how to effectively advocate for people seeking asylum.
And the exhibition runs until Sunday?
Until Sunday, the 25th of June, in the No Vacancy Gallery project space on the Federation Square.
And that's the one just out the front of the NGV building at Federation Square?
Yes.
Great. Where can people find out more?
To find out more, please go to storiesabouthope.com.au.
Renee and Tina, thank you very much for joining us here on World Wide Wave, and good luck with the exhibition.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Definitely going to get down there. A lot of action happening on Facebook right now. Xavier, Kun and Roy love that story about Denmark and marriage equality. Did want to, I guess the one issue we didn't have a chance to sort of get into there is Australia's asylum seeker policy and how LGBTI asylum seekers can be sent to Papua New Guinea where it's illegal to be gay.
And apparently if you are there, then it's Papua New Guinea's problem, not Australia's problem.
And that's the head of the immigration department that said that to a Senate Estimates Committee. So the government policy is, well, we'll ship you off, but that's their problem.
How can they... That's their responsibility. That's their portfolio. How can they stand up and say, well, you know, not our problem.
Those asylum seekers are no longer Australia's responsibility.
I'm sure that is something that is keeping many a human rights lawyer in Australia
makes you
occupied. This is Worldwide Wave.
Receive LGBT news from around the world throughout the week. Like Worldwide Wave on Facebook now.
I am Bisi Alimi from Nigeria. For those who say homosexuality is a Western import to Africa, I am a proof that you can be proudly African and gay and fabulous. And I'm on Worldwide Wave.
And our fabulous interviewees tonight, Renee and Tina, refugee advocates and creators of the exhibition Stories About Hope. It's opening tonight at the No Vacancy Project space at Federation Square. That's the one just outside the NGV Federation Square. You can find out more about it at storiesabouthope.com.au.
We'd also like to thank everyone that's interacted with us on Facebook. Roy, Jaden, Hope, Richard and a heap more who have all joined or interacted on Facebook. That's W3Joy on Facebook.
And all those fabulous messages tonight. Melina, 317, Hoffler, everyone, fantastic, loved it. Our podcasters, Mark and Peter. We've put up, we had lots of good response during the week about last week's show on Malaysia. So that podcast is up. If you go to joy.org.au/worldwidewave, you can listen to that one as well.
And not forgetting Gordon on the front desk. A very important person.
Catch you next week on Worldwide Wave.
Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another podcast of Worldwide Wave, the show that takes you around the globe one country at a time. Worldwide Wave is the international news and current affairs show on Australia's LGBT radio station, Joy 94.9. You can listen live every Tuesday night from 7 p.m. Eastern Australian time on 94.9 FM in Melbourne or online across the world at joy.org.au. You'll find all of our podcasts at joy.org.au/worldwidewave. Or follow us on Facebook for the latest international LGBT news. Search W3Joy on Facebook now.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.